Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Yesterday, we learned how we rationalize, how we talk ourselves into committing the sin of looking at pornography. Well, this podcast is part two of two on rationalization. And this teaching is from the series called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. This podcast series is just a sample of the upcoming book with the same name that's going to be released later this summer. In today's lesson, we're going to discuss eight more ways to rationalize our porn use. This is a way to talk ourselves into the sin. Now there's one thing to note here. If you're talking yourself into the sin, this is actually a good thing. This means that the Holy Spirit is telling you not to do this. In essence, you're choosing to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that you actually have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, convicting you. And this means that you have real hope for change. If you are not fighting this battle, this means that there's a problem there from a spiritual perspective. And that's where we want to work out our faith with fear and trembling and ask the Lord, why am I not being convicted right now? Why is it that I can just do this and my conscience is not bothering me? Ultimately, this means that we have a choice, though. 1 John 4:4 says, "He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." It's during this time to where we learn to cooperate with God, to listen to him, to choose to do something that you've never done before. And this is how we exit the sex spiral: by praying, by confessing, and by fleeing. So in this podcast, you're going to learn eight more rationalizations that we tend to tell ourselves. For example, you know, once I'm married, I'll stop looking at pornography. What about, have you ever told yourself, well, it's safer than real sex? Well, what about it's unhealthy not to masturbate? Have you found yourself telling yourselves those things to commit the sin? Well, we're going to discuss them right now. So let's get started with today's lesson. It's titled, Eight Rationalizations I Give Myself to Look at Porn. What about number five there? My spouse said no, and I have sexual needs. Anybody get mad when their spouse says no?
Or I don't have a spouse, and I have sexual needs.
Doesn't the Bible talk about, I forget where it is, about not withholding too? Because that seems like sometimes that could be a gray area for people that aren't married, that if their spouse is withholding, that can cause them, the other spouse, to be tempted because they're not meeting their needs.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul talks about that you come to an agreement on that. On
for times of fasting, about it says something about, you know, about not abstaining except in times of fasting or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's the context is that you're at least communicating and there's a specific time and reason for it. Otherwise, you could be tempted to do something sinful. I would say, well, not only do we have sexual needs, but so does your spouse. I mean, what's the reason she's saying no?
Because you haven't read the book yet.
Does she need to talk to you at a deeper level? Yeah, you got to love them from a spiritual and emotional perspective. And that's one of the biggest lies of pornography is that, you know, women can be ready for sex just like a man can. And it is a lie because we've pornified the whole country into thinking that women want to have sex like men. And that's not true at all. Amy told me one time, "You're like a microwave and I'm more like a crock pot."
Easy pick.
You better put that baby on simmer all day long for about 12 hours. You know what that means? I mean, it's about a conversation at that point. Something that we don't want to do, right? We just think it's all based on physical needs, and it's not. What about, it's okay to think about my spouse. It's okay if I think about my spouse. Meaning masturbation and fantasy. I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm just thinking about, have you guys ever said that? Yeah, my question is, have you asked her if it's okay to turn her into a sex object? And even if she says yes, because I hear like a lot of guys that travel, they'll say, you know, I've talked to my spouse about this and that, you know, this is okay. And that's you guys' deal. I would say, though, even if she says yes, the sin itself comes from not being together to experience that relationship physically, spiritually, and emotionally together, because you're still having sex with yourself, and God never intended that. Here's the other problem with that, is that when we fantasize about our spouse, we tend to fantasize about things that we would never do with her in person. They tend to be a little bit more radical. So you're still turning her into some type of sex toy. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important that we learn self-discipline, even if we're traveling, to be able to depend on the Lord, learn self-discipline, and then when you come home, experience that together. What about you single guys? Once I'm married, I'll stop. Once I'm married, I'll stop. I'll stop looking at pornography and masturbating. I'll stop going to strip clubs. I'll stop doing all that. I hear this all the time from single guys. And the one thing I love to tell them is that marriage actually tends to escalate pornography use and masturbation. And they do this. What? And the reason is if we don't, as single guys, if we don't have the self-control to do this when we're single, and then you get married and you have these expectations that you can have sex anytime that you want, and then all of a sudden she's got a headache or she doesn't feel good, well, you've just been turned down and rejected. So then all of a sudden we didn't have the self-control there, so now we're going to default back to what we've always done. And then you throw the pressures of finances and kids on top of that, right? It's all about self-control from the very, very start. What about it's unhealthy not to masturbate? I love when people tell me this. They've put themselves through medical school to tell me that it's unhealthy to masturbate. Have you guys heard that? Have you told yourself that? Sure, it's quiet in here tonight. You guys aren't really talking. I thought I'd have more conversation than this.
I haven't really heard about that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of people think, oh, well, I'm going to explode.
Building up.
I'm going to build it up. I'm going to explode.
Got to release.
Yeah. So, but here's the reality, though. Masturbation can be associated with symptoms of depression, prostate abnormalities. Excessive masturbation while watching pornography causes porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And at the end of the day, God gave us something to, so that there is a natural way for us to relieve itself, and that is just through nocturnal emissions, which is a wet dream. So you will not explode. I'm living proof. I haven't exploded yet. I'll watch porn, but I won't masturbate.
That'd be oppressive.
Number one, what's the point? And number two, yes, you will. You're just, all you're doing at that point is you're just resisting. You're just putting the 7-8, the actual acting out, off. So you're actually resisting at a different level. What about I'll masturbate but won't watch porn?
Watching his head.
That's exactly right. You're just not watching something new. All you're doing is you're just watching an old movie inside your head. Or you're just fantasizing and creating your own movie. I've got an overly sensitive sex drive. If I had a dime for every time I heard that. No, you just have a sinful propensity to lust. That's what it is. And really, at the end of the day, once again, this gives you the opportunity to learn self-control. It's safer than real sex, unless it's your spouse. See, that's the beauty of God's, the way that he designed marriage and sex, is if two people are committed to one another and you only have sex with one another, there's no way that you can ever get a STD. Think about this. All it takes is one generation of young people to abstain from sex, and STDs will be obliterated.
Yeah, it's the only curable disease they have, I heard that.
Yeah.
You cured in 20 years.
So if you're having sex with your, I mean, there's no way. But the problem is sin. Once again, it's this idea that we're going to bring something else into this, or we're going to masturbate and have self-sex. And then 13, God will forgive me. Romans 6, Galatians 5, that's a pretty weighty statement, isn't it? Taking the gift of grace that God is, or salvation, actually the gift of salvation, and using that against itself so you can pursue the sin itself.
Yeah, I think that one hits, is probably my biggest one. You just think that it's going to get brushed off, you know. I can start being good, you know, tomorrow.
Clean slate.
And if we get into a habit specifically with that one, it'd be a real good idea to check ourselves, right? To make sure that we're coming before the throne of Almighty God in a way to where, well, wait a second, I better work out my salvation with fear and trembling here. Because right now, I'm not scared. I keep doing that.
I say, just, I want to feel good, you know?
I just want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I enjoy the feeling that it brings, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe not necessarily, like, the feeling I get from, like, the pleasure of, like, looking at it and getting away or something like that, but the physical pleasure of having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the key word, is the pleasure. That's why we do all of this. It's from the chase itself to whatever we're doing, but ultimately it's the pleasure that this whole thing brings. It's not just in 7 and 8 here where we act out, but it's this whole thing. We get something from it. At the very end, there's a lot of pleasure in it for a moment, but it's the whole chase that we're addicted to, so to speak. There's a whole routine to what we're doing, right? There's a rebellious side of me that at the end of the day, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go do it. Period. The end. Yeah. Right? That's the depth of sin that we're talking about.
So you've heard 8 more rationalizations of how and why I give myself permission to sin. Did you see yourself in some of those? Can you think of some others? Well, if you can, I would love to hear them. Seriously, jump on DustinDanielsRadio.com. Send me an email on those rationalizations that you give yourself, and we'll talk about them on the podcast. Now, please know that you can exit the sex spiral right here. You can exit your habit right here by praying the moment you start talking yourself into committing the sin. You can call a trusted friend and confess this thought and this desire that's going through your mind right now.
Or you can flee this trigger and remove yourself from the place that's tempting you. You can do one of those things. You can do all of those things in any type of combination. See, it's when you break the isolation and the silence of your sin by reaching out through confession and community that the sin no longer has any power over you. You don't always have to do what you've always done. There's freedom. There's a lot of freedom in your choice to say no. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and he called his phone evil. And I asked him why. He said that, well, it's because I watch porn on it. I asked him, I said, you know, is it your phone that's evil, or is it your desires that are evil? And he finally admitted, I guess it's my desires. And see, that's a good revelation, because our phones are agnostic. They can be used for good or evil, or both, really, depending on the situation. My phone is one of the most powerful tools for doing good and keeping me clean and pure. You know, I listen to a couple different podcasts every single day that help me keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I surf the web with no problems. And you know what? I've got nothing to hide. And the reason for that is because I've got Covenant Eyes installed on it. I've personally used Covenant Eyes for years. It allows me to avoid exposing myself and my family and friends from unwanted pornography and from the evils of pornography. So let me encourage you, if you don't have a filter on your devices, your phone, your laptop, your tablet, go to CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can try it out, man. It's a free trial, 30 days free. Simply put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast and the ministry. So thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm your host, Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. I'd love to meet you face-to-face. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, single, divorced. Everybody is welcome. You're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, rate the show on iTunes, and you can email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk, it's living in God's power, and that power is in the very name. It's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ." I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.